Hi, this is Austin Hill. Hey, thanks for listening to this highlight from Austin Hill in the Morning. Now, remember, to hear the entire broadcast or more highlights from our recent episodes, you can go to the Austin Hill in the Morning program page on our mobile-friendly website, myfaithradio.com. Thanks for listening. Good morning. It's now 35 past the hour from the Faith Radio Network. I'm Austin Hill, here weekday mornings. Honored to have you with us. Still to come into the next hour, the benefits that might emerge, the opportunities that could open up if and when somebody you know loses a job. We'll talk about that with Bill English from BibleandBusiness.com coming up into the next hour. In the aftermath of indictments of six police officers in Baltimore, Maryland, the officers allegedly involved in the death of a young black male civilian named Freddie Gray, guess what's happened in that city? Arrests have plummeted. Police officers, in my interpretation anyway, are spooked and fearful that if they actually enforce the law, they too will be sent to jail and indicted. And guess what also has happened in the city of Baltimore? As arrests have declined, murders have skyrocketed. It was said to have been the bloodiest Memorial Day weekend ever in the history of Baltimore, Maryland, just last weekend. What is the role of the church in the midst of this? We saw a very high-profile incident earlier this year, just a couple, about 3 weeks ago, a pastor in the Baltimore area making a big deal, insisting that those who are destroying other people's property and hurting and injuring and in some cases killing others in the streets, we dare not call them thugs because that might hurt their feelings and may send them away from the church rather than drawing them closer to the church. What is the role of the church? How should laity respond to this? How can we be thoughtful, discerning Christians in the midst of this? My next guest is Miki Addison. She is a radio personality, talk show host. Her and her husband host a talk program called Urban Family Talk. That's a ministry outreach of the American Family Association in Tupelo, Mississippi. Miki Addison joins us on our newsline now. Miki, welcome back to the program.
Great to be with you, Austin.
It was a very ugly weekend, Memorial Weekend, in the Baltimore, Maryland area. Taking a step back, how do you assess this? What does this look like to you?
Yeah, well, obviously, it was unthinkable that you would have 29 people shot just in a weekend, and nine of those people dead just in one city, and then including, you know, a nine-year-old boy who was shot in the leg. You know, these are the kinds of reports coming out of Baltimore that are quite alarming, to say the least. But, you know, I think that we shouldn't be surprised, and I don't think that many people are surprised by this, Austin, because you can't indict police officers, you can't threaten their livelihood, you can't make, and I would say, you know, I don't think it's too far-fetched to say threaten their lives. There are people who were out for blood, mm-hmm. You know, when you talk about these six police officers. You can't put their lives on the line in that way and expect them to risk their lives to do their jobs. And so I think what we are seeing in some ways is the result of that.
What are we to make of movements, grassroots movements, that say that they are standing for black lives? I'm speaking specifically of the so-called Black Lives Matter movement. We've had listeners to my program here who've called in and acknowledged attending events with that movement in various churches around the country. They seem to be concerned about the lives of civilians, which is legitimate and to be taken seriously. I don't hear them engendering any outcry on behalf of the well-being of the police officers that you're describing. What's going on there?
Yeah, what a great observation you're making there, Austin. And let me just say this. This is so important. All lives matter. All lives matter. We are made in the image of God. So when there is a loss of life, we feel that in every sector of the community, you know, everybody is touched by that. And so I think this, you know, I understand what is supposed to be, you know, meant by the chant, but I've got to say that it's a poor way to communicate the value of life, because all lives matter, right? So I think that's first and foremost, we have to make sure to say that. And it doesn't make us racist. It doesn't make us hateful. It doesn't mean we don't understand what disparities exist in our inner cities all across the United States. It is just simply to state the fact that all lives matter. But I think also what we've got to say is that we have people who wake up every morning and go into a job not knowing if they're going to come home at the end of the day. Those people deserve our respect. They deserve to be honored for the work that they do, and we haven't seen this. We've seen irresponsibility from the people that they answer to, We've seen irresponsibility from people just on the streets. We've seen a lack of respect for authority. And you can believe that this is trickling down into our communities. You can believe that the next generation is watching this. They are watching people who they look up to, whether they should or shouldn't. Of course, that's up for debate. But they are watching people that they look up to lob bricks and pieces of buildings at law enforcement officers. And imagine what that would do to the dignity of a law enforcement officer to be able to, you know, say I'm going to put my life on the line for this community, but then for this community to disregard their life.
That completely undermines whatever confidence and cohesiveness that the law enforcement officer has with his or her colleagues, or at least I think that's the appropriate answer. Your further thoughts?
Yes, I would agree with you 110%. And let me just add this, too, for your listeners. It's so important for us to understand that when we look at Baltimore, we are not looking at a racial issue. We are not looking at a problem that, you know, government is failing or anything like that, because we can look at five generations of government intervention and see that that does not work. The biggest problem that we have in Baltimore right now is the breakdown of the family. We are looking at generations of children who have not grown up in a two-parent, intact, structured family, and we're seeing the results of that. So the violence is going to continue. The out-of-wedlock births are going to continue. The dependence on government is going to continue. And because of all of that, the rage and the anger is going to continue. This, Austin, has nothing to do with Freddie Gray. This is the system. This is what we see, a symptom of people being angry because of their choices and because of the makeup and I would even say the breakdown of the family structure.
Miki Addison, she is a radio personality with Urban Family Talk. That is a broadcast outreach of the American Family Association. She's on our news line here on the Austin Hill in the Morning program. Speak to us, if you will, in no uncertain terms, Miki, of what I call the prevailing media narrative that's perpetuated by dominant media in our country and pop culture and entertainment as well. This prevailing media narrative that says that tension in the streets and unrest, civil unrest around the country, it's about white male police officers oppressing African-American civilians. And that's all it is. That's clearly not the case. Just in the last month alone, in the month of April, we had four black male, African-American male police officers killed in the line of duty, just all in one month in our country. So the narrative has all kinds of gaping holes in it, but it gets perpetuated. That seems to animate the so-called Black Lives Matter movement. Talk to us about that, if you would.
Yeah, you know, I think this narrative seems to sell. This narrative garners support because it perpetuates what is a victim's mentality. Whenever you get to be the victim, then you get to, you know, not have to adhere to the laws of the land. Whenever you get to play the victim, you don't have to respect authority. Now, let's just really think about this, and I had some numbers here. I'm searching for those numbers because I want to be able to make the point. But let's just think about the number of white people who are murdered by black people in this country. And let's compare that to the number of black people who are murdered by white people in this country. There is an astounding difference, and it's skewed to the side that you have black people murdering white people in this country. We don't talk about that. And I don't mean to sound ugly or callous when I say that, but as long as we can stick to the narrative that says, you know, you've got white police officers who are out to hunt down black men, then you don't have to take personal responsibility. You don't have to talk about fatherlessness in the black community. You don't have to talk about being gainfully employed. You don't have to talk about pulling yourself up, if you will, by your bootstraps. As long as we get to be victims, then we don't have to deal with the facts in our country. And the facts are this: you don't have open season on young black men in this country. Here are the numbers. So you talk about black victims in America, right? Black victims of white violence.
Mm-hmm.
Black victims of white violence, 62,593. Okay? White victims of black violence, 320,082 people. Like, that's an astounding difference. You look at whites killed by police from 1999 to 2001. Okay, white people killed by police from 1999 to 2001, 2,151. Blacks killed by police from 1999 to 2001, 1,130. The differences are astounding, but we don't talk about those differences because they don't fit into the narrative. And when we talk, we have to understand the nature of a narrative. You've got a lane that you have to stay in, because this is what's going to sell sponsorship. This is going to be what people are going to want to advertise during, because these things are sensational. But we've got to get back to taking personal responsibility for our actions, not just in the black community. That's in all communities. That's all across the United States of America. But disproportionately, we see this as destructive in the black community because it perpetuates a cycle of irresponsibility.
All right, let's pick up where we left off there. Miki, stand by. Miki Addison, she is a talk host and author and a communicator extraordinaire with the American Family Association. Stand by for more. It's now 46 past the hour. This is the Faith Radio Network. I'm Austin Hill. Seven minutes past the hour. Good morning. I'm Austin Hill. It's the Faith Radio Network that you're listening to. Civil unrest, racial tension, just devastating cities all across the country. It's concentrated right now in Baltimore, Maryland, but it is happening elsewhere. What's the church's role in this? Miki Addison is an African-American woman. She is a wife and a mom. Her and her husband host a talk program, a Christian talk radio program called Urban Family Talk. She's on our guest line with some thoughts on the matter. Miki Addison, I prefer not to speak to people and speak about racial categories. I'd like to think, especially in the body of Christ, that we are one, regardless of our skin color, regardless of what background we come from. For the purposes of this particular topic in our discussion, however, I do think it's noteworthy and worthy of me to point out that you are an African-American woman. And I want to ask you, speak to the clergy right now. Speak to clergy and lay people as well about the clergy and how pastors, regardless of their skin color or ethnic identity, how pastors can more effectively and constructively engage with this problem. It's ripping our country apart. What's the church's role here?
Well, for one thing, I would say, first of all, we cannot be silent. And I think that this kind of conversation is a great place to start. You know, I think sometimes when we talk about truth, we think that we must communicate truth, but there is no compassion in it. I don't think that truth and compassion are mutually exclusive. I think that they go hand in hand, especially when you want to have a productive dialogue. And so when I'm talking about communicating truth, I'm not talking about acting with a lack of compassion. So when I look at Baltimore, right, and even I think back to the riots, and even if I think about Ferguson, you know, there is a part of my heart that goes, I'm grieved to see this happening, and I don't think that I'm alone in that. I think white and black alike, we looked at those at the footage, we looked at the riots, mm-hmm. we looked at the violence, and we were grieved. And so what I would say is that, first of all, our pastors and our clergy, we've got to address this issue. We can't expect that people are just going to work this out around their kitchen tables at home. We have been given an incredible amount of influence, especially those of us who are a part of the church or the Christian community. So we've got to start talking about that. We've got to start talking about being one in the body of Christ. We've got to start talking about tearing down those racial divides. And we've got to really look at the symptoms in the black community and start talking about where they come from. It's not about race. People want to make this an issue or a question of race. And we've got to have clergy, we've got to have people in the pulpit bold enough to point this out. I just want to throw this out to you. You know, when we talk about poverty in this country, because that's another part of the narrative that, you know, blacks are disadvantaged, or that there's a lack of opportunity, there's a lack of exposure to opportunity. There was a recent study done by the Family Research Council. They have a division, their Marriage and Religion Research Institute, right? And they released mm-hmm. a study on Baltimore, and the numbers or the information that came out of the study is absolutely astounding. And here is what the study found. The study found that the number one indicator as to whether or not you will be successful in this country is whether or not you have grown up in an intact family. Now, our president, President Barack Obama, was recently on a panel at Georgetown, right, just a couple weeks ago, where he was addressing poverty. And he says there's a lack of access to those things that are going to make people successful in this country. There's a lack of access to jobs. There's a lack of access to education. But here is my question, and this is what I would challenge pastors to get back to preaching, the full authority, the full counsel of God's word. Is there a lack of access to an intact family structure? There is not. There's not a lack of access to the authority of God's word. Clergy have it within their power to teach and to preach the entire counsel of the word of God, which undergirds, which supports strong, intact families. One man, one woman, together forever, raising those kids until death do they part. Now, if we get back to that, we're going to see things change in our communities, not just in Baltimore, but any inner city USA. We're going to see things begin to change. If we don't tackle it, then we'll continue to deal with the narrative, and that gets us nowhere.
Very well stated, as always. Miki Addison, she is a radio personality, a program host with Urban Family Talk, which is a broadcast ministry outreach to the American Family Association. Miki, thanks for squeezing in a few moments for us today. You are a guiding light in troubled times, as I like to say. I look forward to speaking to you again, and thanks for what you do.
My pleasure. Anytime, Austin.
It's now 53 past the hour from the Faith Radio Network. Well, thanks again for listening to this highlight from Austin Hill in the Morning. Remember, for more information about this, visit the Austin Hill in the Morning program page on our mobile-friendly website, myfaithradio.com.